Main passage this morning comes from Micah chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 5 in a moment when we get to it. How many of you as a kid had a hard time sleeping on Christmas Eve? No? Me? Yeah. You had a hard time sleeping, and why did we have a hard time sleeping? And I believe it was because we were expecting what was coming the next day. And so we were expecting to walk out from our bedrooms in the morning to presents under the tree, gifts from family, and some of us may have even believed in Santa, and so waiting for Santa to come and bring presents as well. The world was expecting something to come, right? The world, the people of God were expecting a salvation to come because He promised it to us in His Word. And so as we look back at Micah, one of the minor prophets, he's giving us a prophecy of what was expected to come. And so let's look at Micah chapter 5, starting in verse 2, actually. But you, Bethlehem Ephratath, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. And this is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. So we're looking at that first part in verse 2. It says Bethlehem Ephratatha. And I might be pronouncing that wrong. But it's Ephratatha, that second part, is an ancient name for Bethlehem. Right? And so what is important about the town of Bethlehem? Well, it is the home of Jesse. Right? And if you know who Jesse is, you know that he is significant in the prophecies of who the Messiah would be. In Isaiah 11, 1 through 10, it says, then a shoot will spring forth from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. Right? So this says that a shoot will spring forth from the stem of Jesse. What do we know about Jesse? He's the father of David. That's right. And so, you know, David is the seed of Jesse, the son of Jesse. And David, what does he do? He becomes king of all of Israel. And then Bethlehem becomes known as the city of David. And David was promised that one of his descendants would sit on the throne forever. In 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 16, it says, when your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendants after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. You know, we could say that is pointing to Solomon, who came after him, and then the sons of Solomon, and the sons of Solomon's sons, right? God promised that he would establish a kingdom with the descendants of Jesse and David, and that kingdom, you know, in that passage, he will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. He's not saying it's going to be temporary. He's not saying it's going to last for a few years and then it's just going to end. He's saying that the descendants of David, the descendants of Jesse, were going to be on the throne forever. in that passage too, in our original passage this morning, he says, though you are small among the clans of Judah, we know that the Messiah is going to come from the tribe of Judah. And then it talks about the person coming from Judah will be a ruler. The prophecy predicts a ruler or a king. And what do we know about Bethlehem? It's the city of David, but it is also the birthplace of Jesus Christ. I want us to think about the genealogies in Scripture. You know, we have genealogies in the Old Testament. We also have genealogies in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 2, in Luke chapter 3, the genealogy points us to the fact that Jesus Christ is a descendant of David through the line of Joseph. And so there's no question about his connection to David in the genealogy given to us in Matthew. It shows that he's the descendant of David through the line of his mother Mary. And so on both sides, we see that he is descended from David. That's why in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, it says this. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. The world has been longing for a Messiah. The world has been expecting God to keep his promise. The world knows that through the prophecies that Messiah is going to come from the tribe of Judah. He's going to come from the town of Jesse. He's going to come in the line of David. And so when Joseph and Mary are on the road to Bethlehem, what does that tell us? It tells us that God is faithful in keeping his promises, the ones that he made so long ago. Jesus is the descendant of David that he was promising would come, and guess what? Sit on the throne of God, the throne of the kingdom of God's people forever. They were expecting it. It came in an unexpected way, though. Who would have thought that the son of a carpenter, right, would be the son of God? Who would have thought that this kid from Nazareth, nothing good comes from that area, that region, right? It's what it says in Scripture. Nothing good comes from there. But who would have expected that the king of the world, God's promised king, would come in this way? In a manger. And some people debate about what a manger is. It could be a barn. It could be a cave. Right? But it wasn't a place for a baby. It was usually a place of storage or a place for animals. And here is Jesus Christ, the long-expected king. And he comes in this unexpected way. In the passage, earlier, the passage from Micah, it says he's from the origins of old. There is nothing more ancient than Jesus. Jesus existed, he exists without time. Jesus was there at the foundations of the earth, and he was one with God the Father. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ was there at the beginning. When, when God spoke it into existence, Jesus was the Word. Jesus was there when the world was created. He was there with God the Father. They existed as one, along with the Holy Spirit. But then he came to earth. He was God in flesh. Y'all know that song, O Come, Emmanuel? O Come, I can't sing it, but anyway. Emmanuel, that word, what does it mean? God with us. God with us. See, Jesus didn't have to step down out of heaven and come into the mess that we call a world, right? He didn't have to step into the depravity of the time that he went into. Believe it or not, there was just as much depravity then as there is today. And he entered into that. He suffered. He hurt. He was tempted. But he did all of that without sin. He came into a sinful world and he lived without sin. He came in the flesh. You know, he came in the weakest estate too, as a little baby. He was dependent on his mom and his father to nurture him as he grew. But he came, and he came with a purpose. The world was expecting God's deliverance. It talks about in Micah, and it bears a son. Mary gave birth as a virgin. It was a miracle, fulfilling another prophecy of the Old Testament. Jesus came into the world in a miraculous way. And then it says in the passage that he stands as a shepherd. And I've shared before that the word shepherd in this time was used as a term to kind of identify a king. Yeah. David in the 23rd Psalm, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." David, the king of Israel, was saying that the Lord was king over him. He's saying, God is king over me. And in this passage in Micah, it says that he stands as a shepherd. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Again, fulfilling the prophecy of the expected Messiah, he comes to be a shepherd. And he brings security for his people. His greatness reaches the ends of the earth. As the people of God, our mission is to tell of his greatness to the nations. Jesus' name has reached the corners of the earth. It still has to impact some people groups that aren't reached. But he's given us that task to take the truth of who he is, to make his name known to everyone. Not to hold on to it ourselves, not to hoard it for ourselves, not to say that this is for us and us alone, but to say this is for everyone that is willing to hear of it. And so we are supposed to take his greatness and proclaim it to all the nations. And then it says, he will be our peace. Peace comes with the knowledge of who he is. Our purpose, a lot of us are seeking to find that purpose in this world. I guarantee you, you will find peace when you recognize that your purpose is in Christ. And doing what he has called you to do. Philippians 4:7, it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Our peace is not in the worldly things around us. The worldly things around us will not bring peace into our lives. But God promises peace. That peace comes through our Savior, Jesus Christ. We cannot explain what is happening in the world. It's tough to understand all the pain and the suffering and the things that we see happening around us. But we can also say that the worldly things aren't where we're supposed to find security and peace. Where do we look for security and for peace? We look to God. We look to our Father. Because we know that He promised us that He would do that for us. He would find that for us. He would provide it for us. So we don't know why things go on in the world, but we do know what Christ did for us. What He did is unexplainable. It's hard to understand. It's hard to grasp, but it's something that we need to remind ourselves of each and every day. Each and every day, we need to run back to the gospel of who Jesus Christ is. Yes, He was God with us, Emmanuel. He came, He walked the earth, He lived in the flesh, He understands what we've been through. But what did He do? Did He come and live sinlessly just to go back to heaven without intervening for us? No. When we were sinning and running away from Him, what was He doing? He was pursuing us by coming to earth and walking among us. And then, this beautiful little baby that brought hope and light into the world grew up. He lived without sin. With a purpose, which was to bring salvation. He went to the cross. He went to the cross. This innocent man, this man that was without sin, went to the cross and He shed His blood. He died. And why did He do that? Because through that action, He brought salvation for us. Through that action, He paid the price for our sin. And through that action, He applied His blood to us, which washes us clean. And what does that mean? Well, it means if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, His blood has been applied to you, you've been washed clean. It means that the promises of God are for you. The world was living in expectation. They expected a Messiah. The Messiah came in an unexpected way. And then He applies salvation to your life through your faith in Him by making a sacrifice that we should have never asked Him to make. And why did He do it? Because He loves you. If there's nothing else that you can understand about where we are as followers of Christ, you need to know that He loves you. God loved you so much. I say this all the time. God loved you so much that He would not even spare His own Son. He would not even spare the life of His Son to show you the passion that He has for you. He loves you with an amazing love. And it talks about He will be our peace. The beautiful thing about what happened with Jesus Christ, He went into the grave, but then, what do we know? 3 days later, He rose from the dead. So that if you place your faith in Him, you know that the promise of eternal life is true. If you walk with Him and you know Him. The truth of eternal life is something that has been given to you by the grace and mercy of God. We will live eternally one day with Him. all the things about this world that we can't stand, all the things of this world that afflict us, all the things of this world that we don't understand are made right one day. Sickness, death, pain, sorrow, hurt, depression, alcoholism, drug abuse. You name it. All the things that we know are wrong cease to exist through Emmanuel, God with us. The one that we expected to come, the one that the world was waiting for, who came in an unexpected way to bring salvation to all those who would hear of him and place their faith in him. This Advent season, we're preparing our hearts to celebrate Christmas when what was expected came true through our Savior Jesus Christ.